Take your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 17. He is always enough for us, but do we live like that? Do we live like He's enough? Do we make our choices like He's enough? A great reminder of this morning's message that Jesus Christ is enough and we don't need to trade Him for the things of the world. 1 Kings chapter number 17, we're going to take a look at verse number 17. Tonight's going to be, just to let you know, a little bit of a different service, and I'll let you know why at the end. I just feel like there's, again, a couple weeks ago I mentioned this, but there's a lot of hurting people in our church. There's a lot of people going through difficult things, and I believe it's our time to pray. And I'm not just talking about individually, I'm talking about as a church family. And so at the end of the service, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to pray. I'm going to have some of the elders or the deacons of the church pray. And we're going to pray for some people that really need it. But before we get to that point, I just want to talk about how we can stretch our lives out for others. 1 Kings chapter number 17, the Bible says in verse number 17, "And it came to pass after these things," and to give you some context about what "after these things" means, we know the story of Elijah and how he went to the widow woman and her son were literally gathering sticks, preparing for their last meal, so to speak. They're preparing to eat and die. And Elijah comes to them and he basically tells them, I need you to bring me some food. Bring me a morsel of bread. And she says, listen, I don't even have enough for me and my son. We're about to eat and die. And Elijah says, listen, I fear not. Go and do what I said. Bring me a little cake and make it for thee and thy son. And what happens is that the widow woman's food supply, the barrel of meal, came to a place where it would never waste. It would never run out because she was faithful to do what the prophet had said. So moving into the context where we are, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And I love this part. It's just so simple, but it's enjoyable for me. It says, and Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. I always kind of laugh at that point because she didn't know that he was the man of God when he did the miracle beforehand, but now he sees this child revived, and he comes and he just simply says, hey, your son lives. And now is when she believes. But I want to focus in on one verse tonight. I want to focus in on verse number 21. It says, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in unto him again. I know that this can serve as a great picture for us, that he stretched himself upon the child three times. I see a man who is willing to lay himself out for a child in need. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Dear God, I honestly am coming into the night wondering, Lord, what you're going to do. Asking you to do something wonderful. Asking you to do something miraculous. Asking you to to help in situations where it seems dire. The need is dire. Lord, help in situations where it just seems like all is going for loss. And God, I pray that you would bless those that are hurting tonight. God, that you encourage those that want to know how they can help. That you would uplift those who need spirits uplifted. But more than anything, God, that you give me power as I preach, so that the hearts in this place can be mended towards you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this chapter, and I find some interesting aspects of how we can learn and how we can make practical application in our own life from this chapter. And I just think of this scene in my life that took place about 2 weeks ago, and just to kind of relate into the scene that might be happening here. About 2 weeks ago, I was approached by a family that sits over here at times, and they sit over there in the 11 o'clock service, and it's a family of Filipino people, and they approached me after one of the services 2 weeks ago and said that the lady's niece, her name is Dinah, and her niece's name is Angel or Angela, and she said that her niece, who is 34 years old, had a heart attack, and they went on to tell me how basically there's nothing they can do for her and how she was on life support and that they are preparing basically to pull the plug. There was nothing more they can do. And so they were asking for me to come and pray with the family and be with the family. And she was saved, thank God. And she had accepted Christ at an early age, and she had that testimony. But this family, basically, her mom still lived in the Philippines, and her mom had no idea the situation. And so she was flying in, and she found out literally the day after this girl died that her daughter had died, as soon as she got off the plane, basically. And I went that Monday to pray with the family. Her mom was not yet there, and I remember walking into the room with the family, and I think they were a little bit more well-spirited because of the fact that they knew she was in a better place. If you've been around Christians when people die and you've been around people that have no hope, there's two different kind of scenarios there. I've been around both, and I've seen the harshness of losing someone who you have no hope of seeing again. And I've seen the wonder at losing someone, and it's just a simple goodbye. And you'll see them again. And this was one of those moments. And so I got to pray with the family, and they were sad, and they cried, and we stood over the bed where she lay, and I continued to think about the brevity of life. Then on Wednesday, there was a funeral, and so the family asked me to come and do the funeral. And so I came, and I didn't really know too many people there, just the family themselves, and I sat for about 2 hours at the viewing. And I sat there, and I kind of watched and observed, and I try to do that every now and then to learn and to take things in and to try to study situations to figure out how I can better be a help to the Lord and a blessing to the Lord and a service to the Lord in the next situation. But I sat and I watched as the mom, who had now flown in, sat and watched and looked at this casket. And although, yes, she knew that her daughter was in heaven, it still was heartbreaking for her. From 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, I watched as this mom would sit and cry and cry and cry and weep. And she'd get up. And she'd go over to the body and put her arms around the head of this woman, and she'd cry and she'd weep. And I can't help but think that this is exactly what was happening in this chapter. That this woman who was faithful had given the prophet a bite to eat when he was hungry, when they had nothing left. This woman who was doing the right thing, who was in the right place, that was kind of faithful to what the Lord wanted, and she comes and her son literally is dead, and she's wondering why. I don't understand. And she's trying to figure out why this is happening. As I watched 2 weeks ago, as this mom took and held her daughter's head in her hands, I remember her saying out loud, "Why? Why?" She was only 34 years old. All of her life in front of her. Why? Why? And we don't know the reasons why God does things, but I believe we find a reason inside of this passage why God did this, but we also find an application for every single Christian to deal with the people who are going through the why moments in life. We find a prophet that very superbly shows us how to help someone who is going through a why moment in life. First of all, tonight, number one, I want to see the hurting woman. I see, letter A, terrible circumstance. The Bible says in verse number 17, and we're going to stick with the Bible here tonight. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, remember how I explained this was the woman who helped the prophet. This was the woman who was faithful to the Lord. This was the woman who had given even when she had nothing to give. The son fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. This is a terrible circumstance. They often say that the worst thing in life is when a parent has to bury their own child. They often say that the hardest moment in life is when a parent recognizes that their child goes before them. I remember 2 years ago, and this might seem small to you, and I know I use it as an illustration often, but it's what I relate to. I remember holding our child in our hands, our 1 pound, 13-ounce Everett James in our hands. And I remember the terrible circumstance. And I remember just thinking to myself, why? God, why? I don't understand. This was a terrible circumstance. The woman was hurting. She was in a desperate need of answers, but was not getting any. Letter B, I don't only see the terrible circumstance, but I see the transparent clamor. Take a look at the next verse. It says, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And some of these things, maybe she doesn't even mean to say, but in the circumstance and in the place where she's at, why moment of life, she's going through these hardships and she's wondering, God, what? I don't understand. And so she's just shouting out things. She's saying, I don't understand. Why are you here? Are you here to tell me that my son is dead because of the sins of my past? Is that why you're here? Are you here to get on me and tell me that I did something bad and this is why I'm suffering through this? Are you here to tell me that this is all my fault? And she's holding her child, probably thinking as a mother probably would, this is my fault. I must have done something. I must have done something wrong. And through her mind, she's going through this terrible ordeal, and she's transparent with the prophet of how angry and upset she is. And literally, she clamors out in anger, are you here just to tell me that it's my fault? I'm sure you've been in a similar circumstance. I'm sure you've been in a similar situation where even the people that mean the best come along and you think, why are they here? They're just here to try to encourage me, but no one can encourage me right now. I'm hurting so badly. I remember watching as that mother would go back and forth from the casket to her chair, and her sister, who was much younger, would come along. Her name was Hannah, and Hannah would come along, and she'd hold the mom in her arms and just talk to her, and you could see her just whispering things in her ear, but nothing seemed to help. As I'm sure you can understand, the loss of a child is a terrible thing. I'm sure when the prophet came along, this woman saw from afar off. And you can picture this. Literally, she's holding her son in her arms. I know, because when you read the next verse, you can tell. He's in her arms. And there's no telling really how old he is. But he was young enough to be in the house. He's young enough to be mentioned as a child. And so she yells back at the prophet. And maybe she doesn't even mean it, but she's transparent with him right now. And she's hurting, and it's real. My friends, I want to tell you something that you already know. that we live in a world with real problems, that we live in a world with real situations. And just because we come to this church and everything seems happy and cheerful, and man, people are singing and the choir is singing and the preacher is preaching, there are problems within this place as far as problems of the heart. There's difficulties that people really go through. There are troubles that this church family really goes through. There are people that are suffering and have needs. I want to see, let her see a tormenting contrition. This girl says, "Oh, thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" She's literally tormented by the thought that this could be her fault. She's literally tormented by the fact that my son is gone. I'm sure that those that are not here maybe tonight, but they're tormented, wondering what's going to happen next. Wondering, "God, I don't understand why. God, I don't see the purpose here." Number one, I see the hurting woman. But number two, I hope this helps, I see the humble prophet. The humble prophet. I see, first of all, a personal connection. Verse number 18, again, obviously we know her clamor. And then we look into verse number 19, we see, "And he said unto her, Give me thy son." Now, obviously, in this verse, we don't find necessarily the personal connection. But in verse number 17, it says, "After these things," or "and it came to pass after these things," meaning obviously the section that I described to you before, that Elijah had a history with these people. He had a connection with this boy. He had a connection with this widow. He had a connection with this family. You know, no matter who you are in this church, you have a connection with hurting people. Whether they are part of your clique, so to speak, and by the way, there really shouldn't be any cliques in church, but that's another message for another time. But when it comes right down to it, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter who you talk to in this church, you have a connection with the people that are hurting in this church. Because you are part of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter number 4, we know the Bible says, "For there is one body." We are part of one body, the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. But are you making that connection with the people that are hurting? You have the connection, but are you making the connection? You know, I wonder what would have happened if this prophet would not have gone back to the widow. I wonder what would have happened if this prophet decided, "I am not going to go back and visit. I'm just going to go about my way." I wonder what would have took place. The boy would have just died, they would have buried him, and nothing would have happened. But here we find that the prophet is making this personal connection with the family. You know, I get up here and I say there are people hurting, but some of you might even think in your head, "I have no idea what he's talking about." Maybe because there's no connection. Maybe you don't know what's going on because you haven't been striving to get together with the family of God, the people of God, and pray with those people that are hurting. Tonight, it's your chance to start. It's your chance to start a new connection in your life. It's a chance to start connecting with the body of Christ in which you are worshiping Christ together with us in this local church. He made a personal connection. Number two, I want to see a profound care. A profound care. Take a look at verse number 19. It says, I'm on the wrong page. There we go. "And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and he carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his head." I see a profound care that this prophet, this man of God, this well-known man of God, I mean, we talk about Elijah and the amazing things that we did, and we also talk about his servant Elijah and the amazing things that he did. And we talk about even the school of the prophets at times, which was literally led by Elijah. This was a man of God. This was a special man. This wasn't an anointed man. But he was also a man that cared for people. No matter who you are, no matter what status you are, don't forget to care for people. I was thinking that this man of God made it his business to care for this child. see a profound care, but I also see a perplexed cry. Not even the prophet understood what was happening here. Why? Because we see in verse number 20, it's easy to see. Verse number 20, it says, "And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" This prophet is saying, listen, I don't understand this either. It's not our job to understand what's going on. It's not our job to tell people this is why this is happening. It's not our job to explain to people why they're hurting, but it's our job to be there for the hurting.
Amen.
I had so many people come up to me, and they're well-meaning, after Everett died, and I had so many people come up to me and say, well, God's doing this for this purpose. And to be honest with you, in those moments, I understood, and I know for a fact they're just doing their best to be a blessing. But it's not your job to tell someone else why God is doing something, because you don't know the thoughts of God. You don't know the ways of God. Our job is to serve the Lord and to be there and encourage people when they're going through a difficulty. It's not our job to help them to understand. It's our job to help them get through.
Amen.
This prophet, he doesn't try to explain to this widow. He doesn't try to kind of say, well, you had sins in your past. We don't see that. He barely says a word to this widow. He says, give me your son. Give me your burden. Give me what you're carrying. Let me help you carry it for you. And literally this man picks up her son and he takes him into another story of a building, and there he prays over him. And I see an application for us as Christians not to try to explain something away, but to try to carry a burden for someone else, a heavy burden that they might be carrying that no one knows about. And you come along and say, I don't want to explain it away. I just want to help you carry it. The Bible says to weep with those that weep.
That's right.
Not to try to explain why they're weeping. The Bible says to help carry those burdens of others. Why? Because in our life we are trying to respond how Jesus Christ would respond. And Jesus says, cast your cares upon me. I wonder if you're willing to respond like Jesus in that area and say, listen, let me help you carry a burden. Let me help you carry this in prayer. Let me help you carry this in love. Whatever I can do for you. If you need your lawn mowed, I can come over and I don't know too much about it, but I can push a lawnmower. If you need your weeds to be whacked, I got a weed whacker. If you need me to take you to the doctors every now and then, I've got a car and I've got gas money and I've got nothing to do throughout the day. Let me get in my car, I'll hop in, I'll take you to the doctor, and on the way we can pray. That's carrying someone's burden. That's holding someone's child, so to speak, in their hand, because a burden at times feels like a child. Feels like something that you're responsible for and you don't understand necessarily why things are happening. But man, it's a great help when someone comes along and says, give it to me.
Amen.
Let me help you. A perplexed cry. We understand that even Elijah didn't understand why God did this. But I see letter D, a phenomenal circumstance. A phenomenal circumstance. Take a look at verse number 21. Oh, this is awesome. Don't miss this. This is amazing. This is something that gripped my heart the other night. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. Oh, what a perfect picture. Don't miss it, Christian. This is a great picture. When I was young, I played baseball. Perfect picture for this. Let me illustrate. I like to play third base, second base, and shortstop. I love the infield. What was hard about the infield was sometimes when a ball was hit, it would take a weird bounce. And what you would have to do is stretch yourself out for the ball. Literally, you had to lay yourself out. And I can tell you, when you did that, it didn't always feel good. It didn't always feel the best when you're landing on your face. But I can tell you, when the ball was in your glove, it was worth it. It was awesome. And so you had the ball in your glove, but it wasn't over from there. You have to literally get yourself back up and stretch yourself back into a normal stance and take the ball and throw it into first base. And then you line up and you do it again. There's a perfect picture there. You see a need. You see a brother or sister that really has a need. And Elijah, yes, this might have been part of the miracle that took place. He stretched himself out, but what a beautiful picture of a Christian stretching themselves. And man, it may take you out of your way. Man, it may make you have to cancel some plans. But stretching yourself often does. It may take you on a course that you never expected. But stretching yourself out usually does. That's what Elijah did for the child. Can't we just stretch ourselves out a little bit? I think the Bible puts it like this in Romans chapter number 12. I don't know if it's verse number 10 or 11. It says, distributing to the necessity of the saints. In other words, stretching yourself out for the needs of those in this church, in the body of Christ. Elijah was willing to do it. He was willing to stretch himself out. He was willing to give of himself for another. But also, see, not just Elijah giving himself for another, but God's observation of the servant's appeal. This is really cool. Verse number 22, the Bible says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. So Elijah prays and he says, oh Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. In verse number 22 again, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. You know what? I oftentimes think this. Maybe God literally is not putting a trial in someone else's life for that person. Obviously, he is. But maybe it's more for the person that's going to stretch themselves out for that person. I know this is weird. And I know it's me explaining why God does things, and I can't explain why God does things, and I don't want to be a hypocrite and just saying that 10 minutes ago. But sometimes I try to think that. Man, why is God doing this? Just to myself. And maybe it's for me. Maybe it was for Elijah's sake. Where Elijah at one time was saying, God, I don't understand why you're doing this. This woman was faithful. This woman literally gave me a place to stay. God, I don't get it, but here, God, I'm going to stretch myself out for this. And maybe you don't understand why God is doing something that is faithful in the church. And they're faithful and they love the Lord, and it's evident and it's clear that they love the Lord, and yet this hardness comes upon them, and these hard times and the why moments of life come into their being. And you wonder, God, I don't understand why, but that's not the point. I'm going to lay myself out for them. God, I'm going to stretch myself out for them. I'm going to give my all for them. And number three, I finally come to the point where I see the happy witnesses. Because not only did they witness something that God did that was amazing, they also saw in their own life prayer work. I want to see letter A, the revived boy. We talk about the widow, and we talk about the prophet, but what about the boy? Can you imagine? Whew, that was a close one. You know, whoa. I thought I was a goner for good. Well, buddy, you were. I literally was gone. Can you think about that? Can you think about the look in his eye when he sat up and he realized he was alive? And there's the prophet of God and he's praying over him. There's the prophet of God and he's literally probably kneeling there, stretching himself over top of the body like this. And the kid sits up and he's like, what? What's going on? And the prophet explains to him, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is what happened. Maybe the prophet explains to him, buddy, you are dead. You are a goner. God did something in your life. What a happy witness to what God is going to do. And I wonder who you're going to pray for this year and stretch yourself out for. And you're going to see in their life, God does something amazing. And God does something miraculous. And it's like a revival in their life. And they say, I don't know what happened. I don't know what took place. And you can answer right away, God did something. God did a great work. A And there you can step back and stand in awe of all that God does. And it's amazing seeing God work. It's amazing seeing the people who God works in their life. I see the revived boy, but I also see the relieved mother who was once holding her son in her hands. And she's holding him. And she's weeping, and she's angry, and she's upset. She's filled with all these emotions, wondering why. But now she sees her child walking down to her. And can you imagine? Can you imagine as a mother, moms? Think about this. Your child was dead. Gone. You were literally weeping over their body minutes ago. And here they come, just kind of, mom, alive. It's not like we're talking about a kid that's been gone for a couple weeks and coming back. We're talking about a kid that was dead. And here's her response in verse number 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." The relieved mother. But obviously, the reliant prophet. He was reliant on what the Lord's power could do, not his own. Yeah, he did all that he could, though. He did what he could. But he recognized it was all about the Lord. That's why I believe in verse number 23, his words were short. "See, thy son liveth." Because it wasn't about him. It wasn't, "Look what I did for your son. Look, I pray your son lives." It was very short. "Your son lives." Because Elijah knew for a fact that God was going to get the glory for this thing, because it was all about him. I'm just realizing now that my point says number two. That should be number three. That's on me, not him back there. It's amazing what you see God do. I was sitting with that family, the family that I mentioned earlier, and sitting with them about a week later. They had something I had never seen anyone do before. They had a viewing, but then they cremated the body, and what they wanted to do was to bury her ashes on the farm where she lived. I was with the family, and they were talking to my wife and I. And they said, "God did something through her death." And I was ready to say, man, someone gets saved, someone accept Christ as their Savior that I didn't know about. They didn't say anything like that. But I know this was a work of God. There are members of that family that were apart from each other, not talking, separated, for 7 years. I'm not talking about cousins, I'm talking about sisters. Sisters not talking to each other over something that had happened. One of the sisters literally had not talked to the other sister since 2003. That long. They said, God used Angel to bring us back together. And I thought, although that's a hard thing to deal with, they'll always thank God. And I know it took a loss, but it was in that loss that God did something and was able to use one of the members of the family to forgive another member, and that member to forgive another member, and those members to reconcile with one another. Sometimes God does amazing things through very difficult circumstances. I thought to myself, as I look at this passage, when it comes to us hearing about someone that's going through a difficulty, we hear about a need for meals to be made, and we think, man, that's so horrible that they're going through that, but I know someone will take up the torch. I'm sorry to say, a lot of people think like that, but there's not a lot of people taking up the actual torch. Tonight, we have an opportunity as a church family to take up a small torch. I want to read from the book of James real fast. James chapter number 5, and then we'll get into the portion of our service that I was talking about before. James chapter number 5, many of you have heard this voice or verse before. James chapter number 5, verse number 13 and 14. It says, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Tonight, I want to do that. One of the deacons came up to me and presented this idea, and I thought, that's perfect. That's perfect. Tonight, there is many that are sick and hurting, but I specifically tonight, and I know there are many in our church, there are several that have cancer. And I think that's just the one that just grips your heart, because it's just the deadliness of it. I know that Mr. Kylitz, who's not here, has cancer. I know that Mrs. Petrozello is really going through a tough time with cancer. We have Anthony here tonight. And Anthony, we love you. We love your mom. Mrs. Petrozello loves the Lord. And just like the widow woman, she probably wonders, God, why? I don't understand. But tonight is the night about us taking a couple minutes and praying for her as a church family. I think she had posted that the cancer is now in her bones. Stage 4. It's a difficult thing. So tonight I've asked some of the deacons to pray. And I've asked for, some of the men who were deacons to pray. And so I would like to ask those men who have been notified and who know that they're going to pray to stand up. And if you can lead us in a word of prayer, I'm going to ask Jim Kennedy to start us out. And we're going to pray. And as he's praying, I hope that you'll pray as well, in your seat right where you are, that God would do something amazing. And this is our way of stretching out. This is our way right now of taking that torch and praying for someone who needs it. So, Mr. Kennedy, if you could pray, Mr. Kowalski, and then Pastor DeWan, if you'd pray, and I'll pray as well.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, humble because of who you are, knowing how mighty and powerful you are, Lord, and how weak and frail we are. We come specifically tonight for Chris, her family, for her physical condition. Look at these things and we can't understand, and we wonder why they happen to people, and we question things and just don't understand, and all we can do tonight, Lord, is come to you and cry out to you, Lord, asking you for healing our body, for comfort, for peace for the family, that your perfect will, Lord, would be for her to be in our midst. Continue to fellowship with her, Lord. We have no recourse but to call upon you for that. We're incapable, doctors are incapable, Lord, apart from you. We just call upon you tonight, Lord, asking you to touch your body in a real special way tonight. We thank you for her family. We lift them up tonight as well, Lord, giving you the honor and praise for what you've done in their family, in their hearts, how you've saved each one of them. Think, Lord, and when we see these happen to others, we look at ourselves and wonder why it doesn't happen to us. We just wonder if it could happen to anyone. For some reason, Lord, this has happened to Chris. So we pray for our Lord and thank you for her, and pray that even tonight, Lord, she'd feel your hand and your power upon her. She'd feel and recognize. to her and the power that you possess over her, Lord, and how she is willingly giving her life and surrender her life to you, Lord, to be saved. So, Lord, we just call upon you and cry out tonight, Lord, that you would do a mighty work. And we pray that your perfect will is to heal her. And we trust you for that, Lord, and we continue to pray for that. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity, Lord, we have to do this tonight. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, we just come to you and beg you, Lord, to be with Christine. You touch her body, Lord. Heal her of this disease that she has in her body, Lord. We know that it's only through your power, Lord, through your ability, that we can believe in a miracle. And that's what we ask for, Lord. It's there for whatever reason it is. We don't know the reasons. But Lord, we just beg you, we come before you and we beg you to please touch Christine and her body. You would help her, Lord, to be able to overcome this disease that she has. And that you would just heal her, Lord. Pray that you would give her a sound mind, Lord, during this time, and that she would continue to trust you and have faith in you. And we beg you, Lord, that you would help. We pray that you would be with her family, with her sons, and her husband, Lord. Help them to be a comfort to their mother and to his wife, Lord, that you would just help them to continue to be a positive spirit, Lord, and they can, Lord. And just really thank you, Lord, to be with her and help her get through this time in her life, for whatever reason it is there, Lord. We just pray that you be with her and help her. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to have faith in you, that you would help increase our faith to trust you, Lord, that she would be in your hands, and that you would help her. We just want to thank you and praise you, Almighty God, and we just ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we should come to you tonight. We want to lift up, Lord, Chris and Petrozello family tonight, Lord. Extremely difficult situation, Lord. And, but Lord, we know that you're still on the throne. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we know that, Lord, we're crying out and begging tonight, Lord, that you would do a miraculous work in her life. Lord, that even though doctors and others may say that the situation may be dire, Lord, we know our God. And Lord, we're just crying out to you tonight, Lord, in special worship in her life. And Lord, that you would just to hear. We do pray for Mike and for their family, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give them strength. Lord, that you would give them, Lord, just togetherness, Lord, that's centered around our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would cry out to you, Lord, and you would provide the strength and comfort that they need at this time, Lord. And Lord, we may not understand the reason, but Lord, we know that they love you with all their heart, Lord, and we're just asking that you, Lord, just do a powerful, mighty work, Lord. With their family, Lord, help them to stay strong. Lord, help us as a church family to be there for them, Lord, in any way that we can. We may not have the answers, Lord, but as we heard tonight, we can be there. Lord, we do cry out for our brother Charlie. He's going through some cancer now, Lord, as well. Lord, I pray that you would heal him as well. Lord, that you would put your Lord, there may be someone here tonight that we don't know about that's going through the same situation. Lord, may they realize they're not alone. And Lord, there's a church that loves them. There's a God in heaven who loves them. And a God in heaven who can heal them. So Lord, we're praying for your perfect will tonight, Lord, that you would do a miraculous healing. And Lord, that all honor and glory would go to you. And Lord, that the name of Jesus would be exalted. And Lord, that we would see the mighty hand of God do a great miraculous work. Lord, we love them. We're praying for them, Lord. We're begging and crying out to you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Dear Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to come, Lord, to pray, to ask for your hand in healing. Thank you so much for the blessing that Christine is to this church, to the people of this church, for the ones she's prayed with, prayed for, to the ones that she's been an encouragement, a blessing to the ones that she's possibly even led to the Lord. Tonight, Lord, we come and we ask for help for her. Lord, we ask for healing for her. Lord, I just love their family and I love their boys. Lord, I think of the boys as they're dealing with this as well. And Lord, as they're trying to fathom what's happening in their mom's life and trying to kind of get a concept of why. But God, help us as a church family not to try to answer that why. Oh God, I pray that you help us as a church family to stretch out for the needs that they have. God, I pray that we'd find creative ways to be a blessing. God, give us wisdom to find unique ways to love them, to show them how much they matter. But God, more than us loving them, God, I pray that you'd wrap your loving arms around this family. And God, although they are going through one of the hardest things in life, that you'd show them your closeness, that you'd show them your comfort, that you'd show them your care. Jesus, I pray that in all of this, that we'd still see you as Lord of all, that they'd still find you loving and gracious. God, I pray that this wouldn't be something that would bring bitterness in their family, but that would bring beauty and joy. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for healing of their heart, but I pray for healing of Chris's body. God, I think of even Charlie as he's going through the same. And God, I pray that you'd heal him and help Mrs. Kylitz as he goes through it as well. But as we consider this Petruzzello family and just what they mean to us as a church family, God, I pray that we'd show them your love through our actions. God, I pray specifically tonight that you'd show us how to stretch ourselves out for them. God, I pray that you bless them. Bless Christine. Give her joy in the toughest moments. Give her comfort in the hardest times. God, give the doctors wisdom and answers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. We're just going to sing a cappella tonight, just quickly. We're going to sing, My Jesus, I Love Thee.